When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Hollywood Wolfpack with Kaya Alexander, featuring in-depth interviews and insights with professionals in the entertainment business. Get everything you need to navigate your above-the-line career right here. This podcast is often recorded live in front of Kaya students in the Entertainment Business School. You can find out more at entertainmentbusinessschool.com. Hollywood Wolfpack is the new face of entertainment business wisdom. Enjoy the show.
Hi, and welcome to the show. I'm Kaya Alexander, here today with my special guest, Tom Keenan. He is the co-creator of The Rosy Cross, The Rebels Who Wrote Shakespeare, a TV series about the Shakespeare authorship debate, exclusively recently revealed in Variety magazine. His feature film, Roast Grief, is due to be shot in February 2024 in Colombia in collaboration with Rain Dance Film. Tom mentors emerging BFI writers and will be launching a film school in September of 2023 in collaboration with Southend Adult Community College, focusing on supporting disadvantaged, underrepresented communities breaking into film. Tom is an independent producer, writer, and story consultant. Tom, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me. Really lovely to be here.
How is your weather in England right now?
It's hot, it's good, and it's frustrating because I've been in Cannes Festival this week where it was raining. So England got the weather. I went to the south of France and it rained. And then I came back and we still have the weather now, but you still feel like you've been cheated a little bit.
A little bit of summer. My dad used to live in England, and I feel like he went to France for a couple of days or a long weekend and came back, and his wife was like, okay, well, you missed the summer.
It's a short window. It's about 8 days, I reckon. No, Cannes was great, but it always, my friend from Nice said to me, it always rains during the festival. I don't know why this, she said, I don't know why they do it in June. It always seems to rain. But I was looking at some of the pictures, it looked really hot. So I think I just got unlucky. But it's okay. It's hot. It's good.
Tom, were you there for the Rosy Cross?
I'm sorry?
Were you there?
Was I there for the Rosy Cross? Mm-hmm. No, I was there for Roast Grief. But as with all these things, you come out with sort of four or five different projects that you didn't go into Cannes with. It's always the way. So I went over to we were doing some great meetings. We went to the Rain Dance Villa party and some great, really, really positive connections where, we're financing with that movie. But I just got talking, I did a few sort of meetings and I met a couple of Canadian producers and just was, shooting the breeze and having a chat on the Croisette. And I said, Canada's great. My best friend's Canadian and he's got the best road trip story of all time. And he said, oh, tell me about it. And I said, it's about how they had to, they're two Brits. So I say he's Canadian, he's half Canadian, he's actually English, but they had to fight the his mum died. And the last request was they had to scatter the ashes on the specific grave in British Columbia. But, His brother flew over with the urn and said, okay, let's do this. Where's the grave? And the guy said, the other brother says, I don't know. I thought you knew.
Oh, you're kidding.
So they did this amazing road trip across Canada to find the grave. And it was one of the funniest, heartwarming, incredible stories I think I've ever heard. And I just mentioned it to this dude and he said, there's a UK Canadian production right there.
There you go.
And I said, okay. I went and met the lead producer from this group the next day. And before you know it, you're doing a movie with these guys. And, it was just, it was a story. So I was there for Roast Grief. I did the MIPCOM TV prod stuff in Cannes last year, and I've done a few TV markets for Rosie Cross, Content London, and I've been to Lille Series Mania. So they're good fun. They're quite full on, but it's you know, it's great. I'm blessed to do it. It's fun to do. Always have a good time. Yeah. Well, I'm very lucky. But yeah, so that's why I was out there. We made some great. I was out there with the director who lives in Bogota, and yeah, we again, it's just networking. It's this, you know, it's talking to people, it's chatting, and you know, that's all it is. It's no grander than that. And I was doing some social media content for the Essex Film Collective, who are a group I work with in where I live, a group of professional filmmakers that live locally. And I was sort of just trying to map out how easy it is to do these things, because you can go there, you can Airbnb in the next town to Cannes, you can buy a day pass to get into the market. It's really easy, actually, easier than people think to go to these festivals or these markets. I'm sure you've got AFM, haven't you, over there and things like that.
Santa Monica.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. So I always feel quite invigorated by the fact that you can just sort of get in and do it. It's not exclusive. So
that's true.
A good tip for your students. Just look, you know, I said to the guys I was doing the social media content for, look, put Cannes in your diary. You've got a whole year's run up now. You can get a week out there. You can book an Airbnb. You can get your day pass, get some IMDb credits, even if it's holding a mic, just put it, and you can get your pass and you can go and take your projects around and talk to the people that can make the decisions. It's not as closed off. And I think that's something I learned last year, which is why, you know, you can go and do these things. So that's definitely a tip for you guys. You should go to markets, because that's where things happen.
Go to markets, to Berlin, to Toronto.
Yeah.
Santa Monica, absolutely. You can get a pass. You can go. A lot of people don't realize. And that's where the producers are socializing their projects and looking for more projects.
Yeah. And the random things are that obviously, you know, they all of them, all of the ones I've been to do a speed, almost like a speed dating thing, where you can go and sit and pitch projects. You've got like 5 minutes to pitch your projects. So it's easier than you think. And you always come out with something.
I love that. Well, tell us about the Bogota Roast Grief connection, because I was surprised. Hey, there's an Englishman. He's getting his movie set up in Colombia. What's happening with the film in Colombia? I don't know.
So my mum died last year very, very suddenly. And that's okay. She had a great life. She was very positive and we were very blessed to have her. You know, we celebrate her life. And anyway, my brother flew in from Australia, and the way that he and my dad coped with the grief was through cooking. And I sat and watched this, and I watched them cook and eat and deal with all the big stuff. And I thought, man, that's just so easy. And I'd been on a rain dance course, and they were saying, you know, your first movie that's meant to be, you know, it's this glossy, huge, great action. Or, you know, for me, it was a Christopher Marlowe biopic. You know, that's your passion project. And that's what you want to do. And it's really big. And da, da, da. They said, yeah, put that away. Write a stage play on film. 4 or 5 characters, 1 location. Easy. A couple of big universal themes. And I was like, wow, that's really cool. Actually, I really like that kind of, because I'd written plays. So I thought, that's really cool. So I kind of mapped out this idea, but my connection with Colombia was, and the guy at the course said, if you're smart, you should go abroad, because it's there are so many markets around the world. You don't need to just focus on the UK market. So I was like, that's really interesting. So my friend is an actor and director in Colombia. His name is Ed Hughes. He was been TV and film, but he's a big star in Colombia. And I thought, well, it makes sense to kind of route this film to someone that has all the connections and all the industry connections, because I was a secondary school teacher up until this time last year. So I haven't been in the industry very long at all. So I wrote the treatment, and I wrote the script pretty quickly. It was very nice, and then we just kind of rolled with it. We got it in front of the right people in Colombia, and then I went to Colombia. I went to Cartagena Film Festival. I went for 5 or 6 days, and it was a whirlwind. It was absolutely brilliant. Ended up on a private island where we're going to shoot this thing. Yeah. My friend, I texted my friend and said, who does a lot of traveling. I said, I'm in Cartagena. Where should I go? She said, get on a boat 20 minutes that way. My friend runs this resort and they'll look after you. And it was amazing. So we're going to shoot on this island, which is an artist residence friendly kind of island. So we've rolled the Colombian connections, and we got financing through Colombia. And the big star that's attached is a guy called Christian Tapan, who is their kind of version of Philip Seymour Hoffman. Very, very, very established and esteemed actor, but he's a producer as well.
And it'll shoot in
It's English, Spanish. We're just finalizing those things at the moment. Yeah, it's a nice story. It's about a father and an estranged son from Europe who connect through grief. It's the same kind of story through cooking, because the food over there is so colourful and vibrant. And yeah. I'm a huge fan of Big Night with Stanley Tucci. So I watched that film and I was like, oh man, I've got to do something. You know, that was a real inspiration. So we've got some big guys reading the scripts over here. We've got some really, really big guys reading the scripts in the UK. We're torn between whether we do it as the dad being UK or the dad being Colombian. We're not sure yet. But it's a beautiful indigenous culture. And I think the reason why it's doing so well is because, in terms of the reads and the people that are interested, is because it's not presenting the narcos, drugs, guns, violence. And the Colombian film industry is really keen to try and shed that. Mm-hmm. So actually the film is exploring the indigenous Afro-Colombian area, because there's a maid in the story who's the glue, because you can't just have two guys in a film. you know they're just gonna, it's gonna be terrible. You need a female there to sort them out. So we have a maid who is the glue between them, but she's I think going to be Afro-Colombian. So it's, that's not really shown very often in the Latin American side of things. And then I just took it to the head of Raindance and said, what do you think? And he said, yeah, look, I'll EP. I'll be the executive producer. So he's like, that's opened up a few doors this way. And yeah, that's the film.
Oh, that's really.
So that's how we do it. It's just Pete knowing someone in that industry. I'm not sure where I would have taken it had I not known someone Colombian, but it works. It really works. And it's a really simple movie. It's really, again, you know, good advice for people that are into script writing or stories. There are stories on your doorstep that are so easy. And so, you know, you can tap into those kind of things. So, yeah, so it's very different from The Rosie Cross, very different from the kind of Shakespearean stuff that I've written, but it was a joy to write. Very cathartic.
That's great. You've got it set up there. Do they have good tax incentives right now? Because the UK often
amazing,
huh?
Yeah, amazing incentive. So I think it's 40%. I always get this around the wrong way, but I'll say the numbers and then you just switch them if they're not right. But I think it's 40%. What is it? Oh no. So 80% of your expenditure can come back if it's in Colombia. If it's a movie over 400,000 UK, so sterling, and then it's a 35% tax credit.
Yeah, that's,
which is very generous. You know, it's one of the, they're huge. I mean, it's a really, really quite, I'd say progressive, but it's a very, very interesting. They're trying to get a lot of work out. The BBC have just booked up to go out to Colombia. They've got excellent crew that have just, I think they did all the Jack Reacher stuff out there. So the crew are really impressive. And then you've got, fantastic infrastructure, beautiful locations. It's a great place to go, you know. So yeah, it's an interesting
February.
Yeah, we might even do it this year. There's half a chance that we might do it this year. So, yeah, we could get funded to the point where we have enough to get going.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
We put February down because it's a Colombian project and it has to go through the Colombian money comes from the government. But we might get sort of support in other places. But the smart thing to do, and this is what all Colombian productions do, is they go to the government for the money. So yeah, looks like we could be doing it earlier. Let's see if we can get soft money from the UK or we can get soft money from Colombia. Then I said to Ed, the director, I said, right, go, just go, get the people and go. Let's not muck about, because I want to take it to Cannes next year. And our vision with it is to be the Oscar qualifying film for Colombia.
Oh my gosh.
That's the vision. Yeah. Because you've got to think big. Why not? There's no point. It's a really, I mean, it's a 400 grand movie, mm-hmm. but it's about two people connecting over food. I mean, it's very universal, you know. It could be skateboarding and love. You know, it doesn't matter. I think you can take two quite universal things and slam them together and it generally quite works. So, yeah, it's a nice movie. And it's completely different from anything I've ever written. So, yeah.
Well, let's talk about what you love to write about Shakespeare, because you have the Rosie Cross. And I know you have a deal of roots going back in Shakespeare, including what you've taught. So let's talk about the Rosie Cross and your inspiration behind it.
Well, the Rosie Cross. So, I mean, I started script writing about 5 or 6 years ago, and I initially wrote a film about Robert Johnson, the blues musician, which is quite a nice piece. And then I was looking for something else to do, and I went to see Dr. Faustus by Kit Marlowe, Christopher Marlowe at the Globe. And I was like, why on earth have I not seen a film about this guy? You know, this is a gay atheist spy who was murdered. You know, there's the arc. It's too easy to write. So I spent the next 2 years researching, writing drafts, plays, TVs, anything that I could do. And I actually ended up writing four whole different scripts, a very low budget up to a very kind of, you know, full fat Hollywood three act thing. But I was looking, I started to then dip into the Shakespeare authorship debate, which I'd never really done before. And I just tapped into Google Shakespeare authorship debate, and a video came up about the first folio and Francis Bacon and the codes and ciphers and this exploration that there was more than one writer involved in Shakespeare. And I was just hooked. It was a Norwegian documentary. And I just wrote to the director of this.
It's extraordinary. I mean, some of these codes and ciphers were utilized to stop the Nazis in World War II. Yeah. It's incredible.
Yeah. And Bacon learned them from his mother. So it's really just absolutely fascinating. So I was hooked. I mean, I'm not a mathematician, but I loved just all of it. I thought it was great. So I wrote to the director of this documentary, who's Norwegian. And I said, look, I think there's something here and I'd like to write it, and I'm no one, but I could just done this thing on Kit Marlowe. I know this world and I think I could do something for you, whether it's a pilot or, and he said, look, I own all the rights. I've been waiting for someone to come out and go, please do something. He said, you sound okay. You sound all right. You'll do. And I just said, okay, fine. So I pulled in a guy from LA, Nick Muslay McDowell, who's the co-writer, and he teaches Shakespeare at the Theatre West in LA, and he's very he knows tons about Shakespeare. And I said to him, look, I want to write this pilot about this TV series about Shakespeare. He said, oh, it's amazing, brilliant. Oh, God, this is cool. And I said, yeah, but there is a twist. I said, it's about that Shakespeare didn't write the plays. And I think he was a Stratfordian, so he was very much within that. So I said, you're going to have to unlearn everything you've learned, and you're just going to have to trust me. And so what we did was we just wrote every day, but I said, I'll do Bacon, you do Shakespeare, and we'll kind of push something together. So we did it that way. I just knew that I needed to get into Bacon and his world. And I ended up, we just spoke every day on the phone from LA to Southend, and what did you find out? I found this out. I found that out. And it was really exciting. You could feel the energy and the sparks. And then after about a month, we just said, should we write something? Yeah. Okay. Let's do it. So we wrote some stuff and we weaved it in together into a pilot, presented it to, this guy, Jürgen, the director of the documentary, who had since become an executive at Amazon Nordics. So he was in a better place. He said, I love this. I think this is really cool. I'm going to share it around. And then the next thing was that we went to, all these guys were going to Cannes for MIPCOM for the TV project. And I shared the script with my friend, Ed, the Colombian guy. And he read it. He said, look, you should start getting this out to actors. And I said, well, I didn't really know any actors. So I just got onto IMDb Pro and I got a bunch of emails and I wrote down a list of people I thought might be interested. People like Ian McKellen, Derek Jacobi, Helen Mirren, you know, all the greats. I thought, well, if they like it, then that might be cool. And I sent it out to these people. I just did a query email, like cold email. Agents? Yeah, mm-hmm. 100%. And then I just started getting stuff back. And they weren't going, you know, off you go, son. Like, you know, we can't, you know, go away. You know, they were like, we're really interested. And can you send the script through? And I was like, oh, right. Okay. Wasn't really expecting that. You know, you normally expect, no, we're going to do that. And these were like big people at CAA. And so this MIPCOM thing came around and I was desperate to go to Cannes. There was going to be an executive producer there called Lasse Hallberg, who was the co-creator, who's the creator of Lilyhammer, which was the Netflix show, first ever Netflix original. And my friend Jürgen said, look, he might be quite interested in this, but he's very busy and he's not very accessible. And, you know, if you don't kind of know him. So I flew over to Cannes. I said, look, I'll come to Cannes. Let's hang out. Worst is I get 5 days on the Riviera, right? That's the worst case scenario. I'm teaching 8 months ago. So this is, I don't mind, you know, this is great. But best case scenario, something comes through. And I landed in Cannes, I think on the Monday, and I had a call from a huge, huge actor in England, his agent. And they said, look, he'd like to attach. Like first day. So I kind of fed this into the network of people over there. And then I got a call saying, can you come and meet Lasse? He'd like to meet you. And so he had this huge, great, amazing beachfront, you know, cafe and you know, cafe, it was like a restaurant and it was crystal and it was all, you know, hot and amazing. And I walked through the door and he came up and he gave me a hug and he said, this actor is my favorite actor of all time. And he just gave me this huge hug. He said, come and join us. And I was sitting there with top showrunners from Amazon and, you know, Netflix and all these, and I was just sat there, you know, just me. And I said, they were asking, you know, oh, this is, they said, oh, this is Tom. Oh yeah, we know him. He's the Shakespeare guy, because he had started sharing it. So then we just kind of, that was the first, and then I think for the next 5 days, we attached someone every day. Oh, we got someone. So it was crazy. You know, there was like five attachments by the end of the week, because I went back and rolled it back and said, right, we've got this guy. And I thought, well, I might just snowball this and see where it goes. And they were like, yep, no, definitely send us a script. So we had Stephen Campbell Moore and Sam Barnett from the History Boys. I was teaching the History Boys for 4 years. And then suddenly I'm on a Zoom with them and they're like, we love your script. Can we be part of it? so crazy. And I'm, you know, I've met a few of that, those, you know, they're good friends now, you know, they've become good friends and collaborators on projects. And then, so yeah, we've kind of gone to different markets. I've learned a lot from that kind of stuff. So, yeah, we went to C21 in London and we met with broadcasters, streamers, and yeah, we're now at the stage where we're, you know, we're at the gate, we're getting offers and it's fun. So it's crazy. So it was all off that pilot script.
That's the series of synchronicities and serendipities that seem to have all brought together for you, but you've thrown yourself into it, which is great. You said that it's, you know, who you want to hang out with. And it's true. That's how the deals happen in this industry. It's through making friends. Yeah. Sounds like you're good at making friends.
I have a big mouth. I talk a lot, but you know, I think that, you know, I'm a positive. I was 20 years in the I was a musician for 20 years, and you know, I met all of my musical heroes, like all of them. You know, I seem to kind of get into these little things. You know, I'm pretty good, I guess, at communicating. I think, maybe it's a good thing. But yeah, no. So I mean. It's been a ride. It's been brilliant. And I've just met so many amazing people, which has led to other things, you know, other projects and other connections. And I'm very lucky, very blessed. I've got lots of good people behind me and lots of good people around me and people I trust and people that have just responded to the material. And I guess it comes down to the script, doesn't it? Because if the script's good, people will do it. But I think it's a strong project. I've always believed it. I, you know, my gut instinct from watching this documentary was there's something here.
Can you tell us a little bit about the story and anything that you're able to share from the pilot?
Yeah, sure. So our story really is, it's about Francis Bacon was the kind of Svengali figure, if you like, behind the plays. But I believe that it was a writer's room. And I think you've got guys in there and women, people of color. I just don't think that it's one person sitting there writing. There may well have been a Will Shakespeare. There's no real evidence in my mind to suggest there was a William Shakespeare, but I'm open. You know, I did an interview this morning with the Francis Bacon Society and it was just really interesting. You know, I had a great chat with those guys. So I'm not precious about, you know, and this is just my own belief. I mean, I'm just looking at the facts and the history. So I think that, I think for me, the story really is about, it's as much as a story about Sir Francis Bacon as it is about, you know, anything else. But yeah, I do believe that there was a secret group that wrote the plays and they were a bunch of, men, women, and also sexualities as well, because I think you can't capture the works of Shakespeare. One voice I don't think can capture the works of Shakespeare. You just can't. I just can't see it. I think it's the writer's room, and Bacon oversaw it, which is the kind of, I mean, my analogy for it is the Beatles.
I love
it. It's the Beatles. You know, the Beatles were four working class kids who had a talent for writing songs, but they needed a manager. So they go to Brian Epstein, and then Brian Epstein says, oh, these kids have really got talent, and I need to get them recording something. So he leans into his contacts and he goes to George Martin. And George Martin was, of course, at Parlophone Records and, you know, recording the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra. He'd never really recorded rock and roll music. And I think Bacon is the George Martin of the whole process. So you don't get the Beatles without George Martin because he was the producer. He enabled them to be creative enough and then drew them together. And I think that for me is the dynamic of this group. Mm. I think Bacon was very adept at selecting stories I think he was a great producer. I don't think he's sitting there. I think he may well be. Obviously, he's used his own experiences because they're just too, again, like you said, it's too serendipitous that elements that you can map from Bacon's life then appear in Shakespearean plays, and then suddenly you've got, you know, this, you know, you've got Hamlet, or you have you know, the Henry plays, of which there is incredible crossover between Bacon's life and you know, the plays, all of which you can't see in any kind of documentation link with William Shakespeare. So that's what got me, was after I'd done, started to do my research. So I think what we'll try and do is we'll try and feed in some of the storylines of Shakespeare, the plays, into the thing. But we have so many options because we don't know how many episodes they're going to order. So it could be The Crown and, you know, 10 episodes a season, which I can map out over 5 seasons. I can do that. But they might turn around, you know, they could easily turn around and say, well, it's a mini series, it's 3. You got 3. What are you going to do? So we have kind of every option covered, and it's just about who you move around. It's a big chessboard. The Rosie Cross is a big, big chessboard, and it's about moving all the pieces into play. But one of the guys I know that will definitely kick in is Kit Marlowe. He's going to have a good role in it, because he's just too, I was like, he's too interesting. I just can't have him, you know. I'm not wasting 2 years of research on Kit Marlowe for him to not turn up in the TV show.
Yes. Oh, that's so exciting. I'm thrilled for you.
Thank you. That's kind. Yeah, no, it's an exciting project. So, yeah, we shall see. We shall see. I mean, I know we are very close to getting where we need to be, but TV shows can take an age. But I think what's nice about it is it's a very cross-European thing. You know, we're talking with quite a big American name in terms of potentially show running. So yeah, there's lots of exciting developments.
The landscape is changing a little between the UK and the States. Traditionally, television for the UK was written by one writer, maybe co-writers, and now they're starting to do more writers' rooms and showrunners there. Whereas here, we've been going the other way.
Other way, yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that's really interesting because, yeah, this is obviously, I work with Nick in LA, and his knowledge of that is very different to the UK over here. But what's becoming more and more, like you say, is this idea of a showrunner. You know, you see on Doctor Who, you know, Mark Gatiss, you know, Russell T. Davis, they're showrunners. Uh-huh. So you're suddenly looking at it from a different kind of view, and writers' rooms. Because obviously we're not unionized in the same way as the guys in the States, it really does sometimes just come down to a partnership, or like you see that most TV shows might have some further collaborations, but unless it's a soap opera like EastEnders or Coronation Street or those kind of big ones over here, you don't, I mean I might be completely wrong, but you don't generally find that you have these huge great rooms of writers all kind of on it.
Even Peaky Blinders, one writer, Knight, on every episode. Yeah.
Stephen Knight, exactly. Yeah, totally. So, and he's going to be a busy boy, isn't he? Because he's got about 14 million projects on the go. So I don't know how they do it. I mean, I came out from Cannes and I was, like I said, and, you know, this, you know, I came back with a cut. But then, you know, I'm always on the hunt for projects. You know, I'm helping a guy do a comedy series over here. And it's really good. And sometimes when the story's really good, you just want to be involved and you want to really push it. It's about the story's really funny. It's about the Grim Reaper is sent to Earth because he's really bad at being the Grim Reaper, and he has to live in a seaside town, but he has to kind of save his job. It's called Living with Death, and it's really funny. It's about how the Grim Reaper has to kind of adjust to life on Earth. So, but again, you get these little projects just pop up, and again, someone, you know, offered me something today. I've just adapted a book, lovely book called Living Inside Raindrops, which is about a World War One, a kid in England in World War One, who is committed to an asylum. And I was offered this chance to convert this screenplay, the book, to a screenplay. And it's a beautiful book. I mean, like I say, it's called Living Inside Raindrops. It's a really nice book. And it's about this kid. So sometimes projects fall into you. You can write your stuff. But sometimes then you look at your slate of stuff and you're like, I call it like a league table. Some stuff goes up, some stuff goes down. And sometimes Rosie Cross will be like a month of my life, like, and then it will be quiet. And then I'll go and do something else. And then suddenly, so I have to on all the stuff that's going on. But yeah, the writer's room stuff is certainly something that's starting to make a little bit of an appearance over here.
Well, Tom, it's been lovely chatting with you, and we all want to stay posted about where and when your projects are coming out. Can you tell the listeners how to keep up with you, how to follow you, where on social media you
are? Sure. Okay, so I am. I'm not massively. I'm not on Instagram, which is probably a good thing. I am on Twitter, which is at RealTJKeenan, and you can find me on LinkedIn. And I think this is probably the other thing that I would say to all the guys in your group. LinkedIn is an amazing tool for screenwriters. I set up a LinkedIn account last year and I just put screenwriter. The work I've got from LinkedIn has been incredible. Short film I did for some guys in 289 Productions in New York. Chris Marsh, they gave me a gig. They just said, we need someone to write a short film. And they just reached out and I did it. And they gave me this thing and they made their film and it's winning awards. And it was all from LinkedIn. A lot of stuff. So that's that you can find me on there. I think I'm TJ Keenan or Tom Keenan, but you can find me. But if you hit me up on Twitter, just connect, send me a message. And I'm pretty old fashioned. I do email. Just really old school.
Well,
I like it
for being with us.
It feels quite fun. No worries at all. No problem at all. Thank you, and I'll come back anytime you want me to speak to your guys again. Anytime.
Thank you so much. We absolutely would love to have you back.
Yeah, no problem at all. Okay. Lovely to see you.
Thanks for listening to Hollywood Wolfpack. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Please. Help our pack grow by sharing Hollywood Wolfpack with your friends and colleagues. Give us a rating and write us a review. Kaya loves hearing from you and reads them all. For more on Kaya and the Entertainment Business School, visit entertainmentbusinessleague.com. Until next week, remember, the strength of the pack is the wolf, and the strength of the wolf is the pack.